So what we're going to talk about is hiring. I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit.
We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Okay.
And when I mentioned that before we started, you said, well, what part of hiring? And I was like, oh, crap. You're right. This could be like a 6-hour episode if we talked about hiring. So we decided we want to talk about hiring and the interviewing part of hiring. And we're going to start with some of the more popular questions that Steli gets around sales. Actually, what he said was that some of the more popular questions have everything to do with hiring salespeople and interviewing them specifically. So I'm going to kick it off by you talking about salespeople and how to hire them.
How to interview
specifically
salespeople.
Interviewing.
Yeah. Yeah, I get asked this a lot, like how to interview salespeople, especially from non-salesy people that need to hire salespeople.
Sure, they don't understand
how the hell do I interview for somebody for sales?
And is this is the other problem I have with sales around this, which is, are we talking about just sales reps? Are we talking about sales leaders? Are we talking about any of them? I'm just curious because there's a big difference.
There's a big difference. Yeah. I think that most people ask for like the sales reps
part
of
it. Let's focus on that.
Doesn't matter if it's like a junior or senior, but like somebody who's going to be doing not a manager,
bag carrying kind of.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So for those folks, there's a couple of things. I mean, I always throw the question back by saying, you know, what's the best interview question to know if somebody's going to be a great basketball player on your team?
Yeah.
Of course, you can ask a few questions to a salesperson, but ultimately you need to throw them a ball, right? Yeah. You need to see them play.
Yeah.
So there's things that you can ask that are culturally, there's things that you can ask specifically about consistency, specifically about rejection and failure, specifically about, you know.
I'm sure you blogged about some of these questions.
Yes. They're online.
We can link them up. Yeah.
And then specifically about like why they are competitive and what makes them competitive and what drives them, what motivates them. So you can ask some of these questions and maybe broader, more cultural questions to your team, your company, the kind of culture you're building. But then as quickly as possible to a sales rep, I would have them sell you something. Either if, you know, hey, give me a cold call or a pitch on what you're selling right now, your prior company.
Yeah, I like that.
Or if they've never sold anything before, you could say, hey, let's pick something that you know and use. Do you like Dropbox or Gmail or something?
Sell it to me.
You know, sell it to me.
Yeah.
Pitch me on it. So you need to have them pitch. And then what I look for is if I do a mock sales pitch with a sales rep in an interview setting, I don't even necessarily going to give them a really hard time at the beginning. Specifically, I give them super easy time because they're so nervous talking to me anyways. But my point is I'm just going to gauge like the question really just is, would I like to talk to this person and would I want to buy something from them? Because a lot of times people tell me, well, how do I know if somebody's good at selling? I'm not a salesperson. Just ask yourself, would you want to buy from this person?
Would you want to talk to this person and have them sell you on something, basically?
Yes. And the core thing.
So doing a mock thing like that can give you a lot of information about the person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to make the mock situation really powerful, you don't just need them to pretend they're selling you. You need to really get into character and be the prospect.
Okay. How do you do that? Let's talk about that.
Well, you need to either understand who the customer is. So typically in mock situations, I would tell them, don't tell me what you're going to be selling me. Tell me who I am. Who's the buyer? Who's your customer?
So you make them tell you the buyer first.
Yes. And I try to get into character.
Pick what to sell. Tell me the buyer. And then you get in a role of being the buyer.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to think of the objections they would have. And
stuff
like that.
I try to get into character as good as I can and try to be that person.
Sure,
right?
Of course, yeah.
So, and then I'll do a very fairly easy call in the sense that I'm going to be a very like as open-minded as I can be and as nice as I can be. And then at the end of the call, I'll give them some feedback on one specific thing and I'll do another mock call just to see how does this person deal with criticism and how quickly can they adapt or learn.
Right. And what I really like about that is you're trying to figure out what they're going to do when they're on the job.
Yes.
Okay. So riffing on that, I think when you're interviewing people, what I see people do is a few mistakes. One of them is they don't actually try to figure out how the person's going to be when they do the job. And so I'm going to give an example from marketing. So in marketing, if you're hiring a person in marketing, again, don't care who, but let's just say a marketing manager or somebody who's doing tactical marketing, like email marketing or something like that, right? The good news about marketing, just like with sales, is it's a very tangible thing. So If their job is heavy on copywriting, I might ask them to write some copy, rewrite our homepage copy.
Right.
They might tell me, oh, I need more info, whatever. Fine. You know, sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. That's bad. Depends on what I'm hiring them for.
Yeah.
If they're focused on email marketing, I might give them a mock scenario that's actually real, where it's like, hey, there's these 5 emails. Here's all the stats on them. How would you make them better? Right. Mm-hmm. So basically it's the same tactic as you're doing, except very specific to the role they're coming in and giving them an example of something they would do every week,
right?
Every day even.
Right.
And just seeing how they think about it, seeing how they deal with it. And that's been really valuable. In some cases, like, I'll know a lot about the company they came from, or the five companies ago or something sometimes, or 3 companies ago. So I might start asking them things about that company just to see how they think about it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's been helpful too. Like, at the last company you're at, you were doing email marketing. I'd love to hear what you learned. And then that'll tell me, how do they think about learning, right? Which is really important in marketing, where you're constantly learning. And if you have someone that's not constantly learning, then you're going to have a problem, regardless of whether they're in one specific niche like email marketing or on a wide basis marketing.
Yeah.
Because if they can't learn, they're screwed. So I'm generally interviewing around, can they learn? And trying to get examples from the past when they've actually learned and how they describe that.
Yeah, I love that.
Last thing I'll say is, and this works for almost any role that's non-engineering, is make them write something for you. So we've had people like head of customer success we wanted to hire, and had one of the candidates write a 2-pager on how would she structure the team and the tools we would use. Mm. And she was able to lay it out and say why, and say what the goal is and everything. And that just laid out her thinking. And so I think one of the most interesting things that I see is, like, if I tell someone to do that and they say they're not good at writing, they're done.
Yep.
Because that means they can't communicate.
Yeah.
And they're literally done. Like, you're not going to write something for me in an interview, or like, if I ask you to, you're just done. It's a very key skill. And I've had people like, I'm like, sorry, dude, like, you can't communicate. That means you can't send an email.
Yeah.
Right. So that's been an easy opt out for people. But otherwise it's like, here's the amazing thing about this. I can take the candidates I have and make them go. And by giving them all the same exercise, I can make the whole thing apples to apples.
Yeah.
Right. Hey. It's like, this person gave me a 2-pager, that person gave it. And then in the company, we're evaluating at least on the tangible skills, like the things they'd have to do every day outside of culture, in a very like apples to apples basis. Like, this person said this. What do we like? What do we not like? Is that how we want to do it here? Mm-hmm. Right? Does that person align with what we want to do? They come up with ideas we didn't think of and we like them.
Yeah.
Right? There's a very easy debate that takes 20 minutes with whoever's interviewing. The other thing I'll say, and this is the most pathetic part of interviewing at a company for candidates, any kind of candidate, is that the same, if I'm interviewed by multiple people and I'm a candidate and everyone's asking me the same fucking question, their hiring process sucks. I might opt out of it as a candidate.
Yeah.
If I'm smart.
Yeah.
Unless I really want to work there, or I'm hired to help with recruiting.
Yeah. You know what? But
it's an amateur mistake.
But in reverse, I totally agree with you. But in reverse, I love a candidate that asks 5 different people in the company one very specific question
all the time. Yeah.
To see if the answers are consistent.
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah, but I'm saying, when the interviewers are all asking the same question, it's like, you're wasting the candidate's time. You're wasting your time, and you don't have a process for hiring.
Yeah. For us, one thing that we do is, every time somebody interviews a candidate,
and
then they pass that interview, and that person within our company says, okay, Stella, I've talked to them. Next stage is you talk to them. The very first question we always ask everybody who's next is, what are some things I need to find out that you haven't learned yet?
Yeah. Or what are you questionable about still?
Yes. Right?
Whatever.
What are your doubts? What are your fears? What is the thing that we need to drill down on?
And I like that a lot. Because when you're small, you have to do things like that because you don't have process yet. But like, that should turn into process at some point,
right?
Which is like, everyone knows what their role is in the interview process with that candidate.
Right.
Because otherwise, like, you're not able to have an effective conversation about them, which means you're going to make more mistakes on who you hire.
So let me also comment on the writing example, because we use this also for sales hiring.
Oh, awesome.
So one thing that we do even before we get a candidate to come in
is
we tell them to, once we've talked to them on the phone and we like them, we tell them to do an outbound cold email. And we tell them, hey, at close.io, we don't do outbound cold emails right now. But just as an exercise, I'd love you to think of a company you think would be a good customer. Identify an an individual at that company.
And write them an email.
And write them an email. Send it to me and explain to me your rationale. Right? Nice. Did you write it the way you did? Right? And the beautiful thing is we've done this with, it does a number of things. Number one, you see, can this person write? What's that person thinking? Is that person sloppy? How much time does it take for that person to write that
spelling
email?
Spelling mistakes and those spelling things are like mistakes. Easy. Jesus. You're done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then are you using some of the methodologies we're writing about or not? Right? Because we write a lot about how to write cold emails. And then it's an easy way for us to compare a candidate at a very fair, in a very fair way with hundreds of other candidates. Because we have all these emails stored and we can think about like the best ones that we had. And every time we get a new one, we can compare it and go, how did this person stack up on this exercise against somebody else?
It's really good when you need to hire a lot of people for the same role.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah. So that's another thing that we do on the sales hiring side is we have them write a cold email independently if they'll have to do that in their job. It just still shows that they're going to have to write sales emails one way or another.
Well, they're going to have to communicate it.
Yes.
They're going to have to understand their companies and their context. Yep. And this is an easy way to get them to do that exercise. I really like it.
Yes. The other thing that I'll say for sales hires in specific is, and I tell this to people all the time, is you'll never hear me say the words, I just made a great sales hire. You'll never hear me say that. And I'm the sales guru, and I would never, because I don't fucking know. Like, you'll hear me say, I just made a sales hire, but I don't know if it's great or not.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and the person kept telling me, oh, that engineer is great. It's amazing. But I'm like, whoa, hold on. This is funny that you said that. I'm like, hey, you need to stop that. You're going to be let down if you continue down that path. That's just not good, right? You think they're going to be good in your company. Great. Got it. Yeah. But like, they're not the best thing since sliced bread. Nobody is.
You don't know.
Yeah, that too.
You don't know until you know.
That's right.
Right? And also, your standards might evolve change over time. So it's unfair to them as well to just put them on a pedestal, right? It's the same thing again. But for me, specifically in sales, I'd rather have somebody, to me, consistency is king in life in general, but in sales in specific. And I'd rather have somebody in sales that's consistently okay than somebody that's inconsistently great. I used to be inconsistently great for most of my career, and it sucks. You can't manage a team based on that. You can't. The worst thing you can have are these quote-unquote superstar salespeople in your team that are completely unreliable, that have like great weeks, horrible weeks, that do whatever they want, that you know, don't follow process, that those people will fuck up your team. They fuck up your team. You need people that are consistent, you can rely on, and you can know predictably what they're going to do to build a big and successful sales team around. So to me, that means that until I've seen you a few times deal with soul-crushing failure, and until I've seen you a few times deal with these like amazing successes, and then see what do you do once you crush it and you close this massive deal? Are you showing up the next morning early and still do your job just like nothing had ever